Welcome to Tapped In. This is Dave Figueroa Martinez of DFM Coaching, and today we're going to be doing a breakdown of mount. Mount is one of my favorite positions to play. I understand that it's sometimes it's an issue with opponents that are much larger, but overall, it's a position that I love to be in. So I flip-flop between mount and back. Back gives me a couple of attacks that maybe mount does not, but I can switch between the two depending on what's going on. Mount for me is a position of control far before I ever start mounting any form of attacks. Beginners will often rush through mount because they feel like they need to capitalize on something really fast. Mount is not a position that you need to rush through. It's not a position that you want to skip steps in order to get an isolation of the arms or a choke or a submission of some kind. Mount is the position that I will cook you in for as long as I need. I'm not in a rush. The real controls make your opponent will carry your weight and they'll have to fight through discomfort and waste energy. That's what I want in my mount, first and foremost. The submissions will come later. We do not need to rush from like side to step over or to slide the knee, get into mount and feel like we need to get something right away. That's not the purpose. The purpose for me, any top position for that matter, but mount specifically, is to cook you, is to make you fight, to make you mentally withdraw, and then to let you give me what I'd like. And I word it that way specifically because that's in essence what's going to end up happening. When I get to mount, the first thing I do is I widen my knees. I don't want my knees to pull or to hug the rib cage. I feel like anytime I rub or I bring my knees together, the space on the mat gets narrower and I'm more easily rolled to the left or the right. What I want is to widen my knees. The knees being wide also give me a second aspect to this entire thing, which is my hips drop a little further onto my opponent. You can argue whether you want to have a high mount or a traditional mount. These are completely up to you. I sometimes play with a high mount, but typically I'm very traditional with the mount itself. High mount will give you less, you'll be less susceptible to what the hips are doing. Like the hips won't be able to buck you as much. Regular mount, maybe I deal with the hips, but I have workarounds where the hips don't really bother me all that much. Again, this is a control position. Submissions will come later. The things that I want to create are low hips, low meaning onto the body, and I want my chest on top of their chest slash on top of their face. I don't like playing mount from like a seated position where my chest is off of them and I'm kind of like straddling them, but high. There's benefits to this. Hodger Gracie plays this beautifully. I do not. And it gives you things like collar chokes and the armbar once you start nailing some of the collar chokes or threatening them. I like to play everything really low and tight. My hips are low. My knees are a little bit wide so that my hips can get lower. My chest, instead of being draped over the top like a cave or a towel or something, I'm pushing my chest out. If you can picture being at a computer and they tell you to have proper posture, my chest is out in the same way. I'm pushing my shoulder blades through my chest and onto my opponent. My shoulders are back a bit, and I'm carrying most of my weight on my sternum or a pec, depending on what I'm doing. I personally like to attack with a head control, and the head control allows me to dictate which way they're allowed to bridge. So when I'm in mount, I'm often leaning to my left side. My right arm is encircling my opponent's head, and I'm forcing him to look to the left. My right shoulder is pressed against the face, which forces that motion. If I really want to be mean, I might use that right hand to pull back and make them look even deeper, although I don't need to. But I don't want them to be able to bridge to my right effectively. I personally like the armbar for mount, but in order to set that up, I need the arms to be in play. People will often dive or dig their elbows into their rib cage and kind of bundle up. That offers me the Ezekiel. Because my arm is already around the back of their head, it doesn't take a whole lot to slide two or three fingers, three or four fingers into my left sleeve and then start punching through the neck for the Ezekiel. The Ezekiel for me is maybe 50-50, maybe 40-60. It's not the most high percentage. And even sometimes when I get to the other side, they might press off and I might switch to the armbar anyway. But really for me, it's a way of forcing you to give me something that I want without me wasting too much energy. I want the arms above the shoulder. So when you bring your arms in and defend the Ezekiel, it allows me to swim my left arm under your elbow. I flatten my hand out and I start to walk against the mat. Doing it this way allows me to not use a lot of musculature and it allows me to waste your energy because you obviously don't want to allow me to get your arm above your shoulder. So you're constantly pressing towards my hip. Because my hand is pressed against the mat, adds so much friction that I don't normally lose the position. Sometimes I do. But then once I walk it all the way up, that's when I switch to S mount and I can start attacking the near side arm. I have options for attacking the far arm, the near arm, switching to omoplata, Americana, a Kimura. So it's a position at S mount that I absolutely love. When I'm in the S mount, I have one knee, in this case, my left knee, up by their head. It acts like a pillow. My right foot cannot be flat against the mat. If it's flat against the mat under like their shoulder area, it creates a foundation where my weight isn't allowed to come down as much as I'd like. In some cases, maybe I do that because I'm going against someone smaller or I'm going against someone who isn't as skillful. So I might be lessening some of the weight that they have to deal with. This is fine. But if I'm looking to attack and I'm really trying to drive home that I want this arm, you should just give it to me. I'm curling the right foot onto its side under their shoulder blade. This allows my right hip to drop onto their chest, creating a lot of pressure. I can lean into it, creating even more pressure. And at no point in any of this moment am I really in need for rush. I don't need to rush any of this. The only moment that's semi-rushful is when you slide to the S mount. I need my knee to slide all the way up by their ear, the back of their head. There's a little moment of like, I got to go here. But for the most part, these are positions, the mount, where I get to dictate how slow or fast we're going to move. And if I could take away all the space that you need to escape, this is going to be a torturous moment or set of moments for you. You will, at some point, want me to just take the arm, if I've done this correctly. I'm going to pin arms. I'm going to isolate arms. Sometimes I pull both arms in, leaving you even more helpless. There's two aspects of this position and the pressure. It's one, you're physically being tortured, in a sense, because everything just sucks. You're not able to breathe well. You're carrying all of my weight. Your arms are starting to give because maybe you're holding on to a specific type of grip and I'm working against that. The other side is there's a psychological aspect to this that absolutely sucks. When you know that something's coming and you're unable to defend it, you can feel when someone kind of just mentally taps. They haven't physically tapped. They haven't hit the mat. They haven't tapped you. They haven't verbally tapped. But you can feel the tension in her body kind of just go. That's what I live for. I don't live for the physical tap. The physical tap is whatever. The one that I really live for is when I can feel their will to produce any form of resistance fade. That's when I know I have everything else. I can take my time. I can mess around. I could give them a wet willy. I can suffocate them. I can cover their mouth. Like I could do whatever I want at that stage. Their will to live, quote unquote, is gone. So they don't defend very well. They don't defend accurately. Maybe they throw out a Hail Mary and it's just the silliest thing that you need to do, but you did it because at that stage you've mentally broken and there's nothing else that you feel like you can do. So you just do whatever. Because you feel like the inevitable was there. And it is. But there's still things that could be done. In the course of mount, in attacking from mount, everything is done in small stages, small, tiny adjustments. I don't need to create these giant sweeping motions. Everything's tiny. The weight shifts, but it does not come off the body. The weight or the angle changes, but the weight is almost always there. These tiny adjustments allow me to continue to punish you without letting you get a full breath of air. When you can't get a full breath of air, that compounds throughout the entire technique. So when I'm going from isolating the arm to S to securing both arms to sliding my leg over your head and maybe even staying on top of you to finish the armbar or falling back, none of it changes the amount of weight that I'm making you carry. And by the end of it, you're gasping or you're running on fumes that you're not able to mount a healthy comeback or a healthy defense. Small movements are going to be key in all these motions, anything from top. We do not need large transitions that take the weight off, large transitions that create holes or windows for your opponent to escape from. You want to steal off all avenues of escape, slowly approach, make them hate every second of their lives at that point. And if you're lucky, they almost give it to you. When you're building these submissions, isolate everything. Just like I said, everything's slow. Even when I go to isolate the arm, and instead of going to S mount, maybe I go head and arm choke. Even at that stage, I'm not in a rush to hop off. Some people are really good at finishing a head and arm choke from mount. I have not been still doing that. So when I hop off, the pressure is still up top. I'm sliding my knee off of their body and going completely flat. At this stage, when I'm hitting this submission, all the adjustments have to be minute. They're tiny, tiny, almost insignificant changes. I have to trust that I have the position, that I have the forward pressure, and I go flat onto my belly, and I don't need to grab the second hand. I just palm the mat, keep that steady, and then I start to move slowly in clockwise motions as I flex my bicep and my shoulder, and I have the faith that the choke will work. If I miss it, I come back up, we start taking the back. We haven't lost the position necessarily, but everything has to be small and calculated. Nothing, give your opponent no avenues of escape. Nothing large, no windows to jump through. You make them bake in that terrible pressure until they give you what you want. Mental shift. Think suffocate, then submit. Just kind of like I mentioned. Mentally train yourself to enjoy the control process. Control is like fundamentals that people kind of just throw out. They don't spend a ton of time there, and they want the submission. The submission is the prize for everyone. Think of it as the prize will be more of a cherry on top, and the submission, quote unquote, is really the fact that they can't move, the fact that you're punishing them, the fact that you're torturing them. And I know this sounds bad. It sounds terrible. I understand. Maybe I'm a deviant. Maybe I just enjoy messing with people. I don't know. But in jiu-jitsu terms, you want them to bake. You want that control to be everything. If you can control someone, and if you're on the street, if you're trying to control someone who's mentally ill or someone who's trying to attack you, the submissions are going to hurt people. Submissions can put people out. And in some cases, you want that. But the submissions keep you safe. They keep you in the top dominant positions. They keep the arms isolated. It's hard to hurt you if it's one-on-one. If it's just jiu-jitsu, it's hard to escape. You're attacking them physically, emotionally, psychologically. Like, enjoy that process. There's absolutely nothing better. The submissions, whatever. I love when I can just, like I mentioned, I get that moment where they mentally just give. That's my win. And then I move on to whatever I want to do. Think of mount like slowly sinking someone into quicksand. Slow moving avalanche. Let them struggle. Let them sink deeper. this is just a phase where you get to understand the entire picture. When I was working mounts as a brown belt, I lost this position quite a bit. I would get there, I'd get reversed, or they would sneak away into half or some other position. And this ended up being my position that I studied for a long time. And I wanted to just dominate this. And it allowed me to understand all the possibility, the variables for escapes, and the process of shutting those off or opening them up for someone simply to close the door later or to transition to something else. Like sometimes I allow people to turn when I'm S and just to take the back. But I created that avenue escape. I gave them that rope to allow them to out of the quicksand only to cut it off later and develop some other form of torture. So really change the way you're approaching these top positions, specifically mount. Think of it as slow. Think of it as pressure. Think of it in ways of torture someone. And then ultimately get to submission. Submission is last. It's cherry on the sundae. It is not your immediate goal. Your goal is to understand how to control people, gas them the fuck out, and then enjoy the spoils later. I hope you enjoyed this. I plan on doing a couple of other positional breakdowns. I think it helped. I think it can help some people kind of really understand the positions more instead of looking at them as just singular moments and really the minor moments that encompass the overall picture. If you have any questions, please hit me up, DFM099 on Instagram or Threads. If you'd like to work with me, I do private lessons, workshops, and classes on here or there. Love to hear from you. Again, any questions, and let me know. Thank you.